Amen. Let's turn our Bibles this morning to the book of Acts, Acts chapter number 5, Acts chapter number 5. And I do want to set your mind at ease. I do know what time it is. I do know that we are behind schedule because of what has we've already done. And I will be mindful of the time. If you're new or visiting today, I want to let you know I do not have 19-point sermons. That I was attacked in my own pulpit. I'm not used to that. I have a gift to take 19 points and put them into three. So same material, but just it makes you feel better to know that, no, I will be mindful of the time. And as you know, if you're not visiting today, we've been in a Sunday morning series on mercy. And I'm going to step out of that today because I want to, when I'm in that series, I want to give it as much time as I possibly can. And I also want to bring a message this morning that'll help us as a church with the theme of the day, this Community Sunday. And if you're visiting today and you live in the area, I think this will give, while it's a little bit different, I think it'll give you an idea and understanding of the heartbeat of this church. And I think the message will also do that this morning. We want to uplift Christ. We want to build our lives, our homes, our marriages. We want our children to grow up on the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to be a church that reaches people with the gospel. We want to see people saved. We want to tell the world of what Christ will do if you'll let Him not just save you, and that's important, but have complete control of your life. And so I want you to give me your attention this morning. Acts chapter number 5, verse 42. I'll read one verse of scripture for our text this morning, and it will stay right there in this verse this morning for our message. And daily in the temple and in every house they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. It's a simple verse. It's an easy verse to understand, but there's also much in this verse of scripture. And I want to speak this morning on the subject, the church going beyond its walls. Now, that's a cliche statement that a lot of time is used. We hear that today. We have to get outside of the walls of the church. And yes, I'm going to preach to that. And my first point is going to solidify that doesn't mean what happens inside the walls isn't important. Right. It doesn't mean there's no walls to the church. Right. Now, our walls are a little sloped and a little different than the average building, but you'll get the context as we've got to. I enjoy what we get when we assemble together. God meets with us. God works amongst us. We see people saved. You feel the Spirit of God. When you leave, you feel like you've been in church. That's not credit to me. It's not credit to you. It's credit to God. It's credit to His faithfulness. It's credit to the Word of God. And if we keep His priorities what they should be, He promises that He will meet with us. And so it's important that we take what is here. And we've seen illustrations of that this morning. And so let's ask the Lord to help us. Father, we come to you today grateful for the testimonies, grateful for the lives that have been changed, grateful for the blessing that already has been church today. I pray that you'll take the remaining time. If there's one unsaved in the service, one unsaved that might be listening by radio, watching by live stream, Father, I pray that you would work in their heart. May the Spirit of God convict them. May they realize their need of salvation, that Christ is the answer for salvation. Bless your church today. In Jesus' name, amen. Today already we've recognized different Sunday school and Bible study classes that meet throughout our community. And I'm thankful for every teacher, every laborer, every host. I'm thankful that for every class that helps extend the reach of this church. It's true that when many people think of church, they think of only what happens in this building. They think of the auditorium. They think of the platform. They think of, is that person going to take my seat again today? They think of the singing. They think of the preaching. And certainly we thank God for the gathered church. We thank God for the place where God's people assemble together. We thank God that He has seen fit to give us this piece of property on this corner here in Jacksonville. We thank God for this place. When you say church, you think of the location of which we assemble. We thank God for that. There's no substitute for the local church gathering in one place. I'm thankful for technology. I'm thankful we have some shut-ins who cannot be with us. I'm thankful that they can watch by live stream this morning. But that does not take the place of assembling together. And let me just say, if you are watching my live stream this morning and you can physically be here, you should be here. You're missing out on the shaking of hands. You're missing out on the fellowship. You're missing out on assembling together. We cannot overemphasize the importance of God's people coming together. In Acts chapter 5, verse 42, our text this morning reminds us that the ministry of the church, however, was never meant to be contained in one location. The Bible says, "And daily in the temple and in every house, they ceased not to teach and preach Jesus Christ." Now, I'm going to get off of, I'll get back to the outline in just a moment, but let me just remind us as a ministry, Sunday is the Lord's day. It's not the Jacksonville Jaguars day. It's not the NFL's day. It's not fishing day either, by the way. It's the Lord's day. Now, that does not mean church is regulated just to the Lord's day. As we see in Scripture, and daily in the temple and every house, they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. If you're new to our ministry, and even if you've been in our ministry a little while, I remind you, on Monday night, we have men's prayer meeting. That's the church meeting together again. Tuesday morning, the ladies get together here on the property. Those that can be in that's the church meeting together again. On Tuesday evening, we have our 12 Stones Addiction and Recovery Ministry that meets in Orange Park. That's the church meeting together again. Thursday night, we'll have our midweek Bible study, and I'll continue in my series on church health, Lord willing, this Thursday. That's the church assembling together again. Sunday is the Lord's day, but the church met every single day. Why? Because it was teaching the Word of God. It was talking to people about Christ. Notice the words, "in the temple and in every house." Remember the statement, church. The early church had a gathered ministry, but they also had a scattered ministry. Let me say that again. The early church had a gathered ministry, but they also had a scattered ministry. They had a central place of meeting, but they also carried the truth into homes and into the community. They did not choose between the two. Which are we going to do? They did both. That's why the testimony that you heard this morning, it is important that we have those Bible studies. It's important, those of you that take the time to make sure your house is cleaned every single weekend. You open up your home to people that you know. Complete strangers might even show up and come in. You open up your home to them. That is an important extension of the church. I would submit to you that the New Testament church cannot truly be the New Testament church if the only time we have church is when we assemble together on a Sunday morning. We have got to continue to get out into the community. They had a central place of meeting, but they also carried the truth into homes and into the community. They didn't choose one or the other. They did both. Now, let me give you several things this morning for us to keep in mind, and let me take all of this and compact it into an hour and a half. Number one, the church must gather together for its power. The verse says, "And daily in the temple." While we cannot confine the church to just inside walls, the church must meet inside those walls. And there are some today that they would say, "Well, Pastor, I have a home Bible study." I'm glad you have a home Bible study. I think every Christian ought to study their Bible at home. I think families ought to get together and study their Bible. But that does not mean that you don't gather together as a church. When Jesus arose from the dead and he met with the early church and he gave them the Great Commission, he didn't commission the authority of the church to a home. He didn't commission the authority to baptize to your house. So I baptized my kids in the backyard. Well, congratulations, they just got wet. Because it's the authority of the church. These Sunday school classes that meet off property still meet under the authority of the Emmanuel Baptist Church. You say, "Well, we have a Bible class over in Mandarin." That's not very local. It's under the authority of the local church. And you say, is that, that's a long way to go. I've got plans to start them further than that. And we'll say, why is that? Because the church is not contained to 12046 Normandy Boulevard. We are commissioned to reach all of those around us. But we have to gather for our power. There is something about the public gathering for the people of God. And by the way, if you get sick, you have a surgery, you go on vacation, it's important that as soon as you're able to get back in church, you get back in church. You need it. You need to assemble together. You need to see one another. You need somebody to hug your neck. You say, I don't know anybody. We'll commission Miss Ruth. She's the neck hugger. You need to look your pastor eyeball to eyeball. You need to be around one another. Assembling is important. Hebrews 10:25. Reminds us not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is. Could we all agree this morning that the world does not need less church? It needs more church. Can we all agree this morning that the world does not need less Christ? It needs more Christ. Can we all agree this morning that God's people need the gathering place? Your family needs to gather together. Say, it's such small children. It's such a hardship. It's such a hassle. I understand that. It shows them that it's important. It reminds you that it's important. It's important enough to assemble together. We should never minimize what happens when the church gathers together under the authority of the Word of God. The early church met in the temple. They gathered publicly. They assembled openly. They understood the importance of a visible gathered witness. Not to get in the weeds on this, but that's why it was so important. Back in 2020 with all the COVID, it was a big deal to say that a church could not assemble together. Because we are called to assemble together. It's important for us to assemble together. We are not ashamed of the church house. We can say that. And look at our building. You say, but it's what goes on inside of this. I'd rather have the Spirit of God that's in this place. I'd rather have the souls that are saved. I'd rather have the move of God than the grandest cathedral on the planet, because it's not about the building. It's about the fact that we have a place that we can assemble together. We're not ashamed of the church house. We're not ashamed of preaching. We're not ashamed of assembling. We are not ashamed of being identified as the people of God. You know what identifies you greater as a child of God going to the church house every Sunday than it does wearing a t-shirt that says, I'm a follower of Christ? Assembling together identifies you. Let me give a statement number two. The church must go into the community. The Bible says, and in every house. The work of the church was not confined to the temple. It went beyond the walls. It moved into houses. It entered daily life. We as children of God, as Christians, need to be reminded, being a Christian is not just a Sunday thing. It's a Monday thing, a Tuesday, Wednesday. It's a lifestyle. We don't confine it to Sunday, to a location. This is the beauty of our Bible classes and our Sunday school classes that are all over. Because we are going into the community. We take the truth to where people live. See, these classes place an open Bible closer to people. Acts 20:20 says, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto me, but have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house. That is still a Bible model. Publicly and from house to house. Some people are reached in a large assembly like this. But some are reached at their doorstep. Some are reached on a school campus. Some are first touched by a personal invitation. We ought to thank God for every effort that gets the Bible to more people. Every class in the community says we care about the neighborhood. So he said, number two, the church must go into the community. Number three, this is vital. The church must keep Christ at the center. Notice our text says they cease not to teach and preach Jesus Christ. That is the heart of it all. That is everything. We don't have these classes all over. We're not starting more just to fill a schedule, just to check a box. It's about not having activity for activity's sake. Let me just go ahead and tell you, it's not a conspiracy to get you out of bed on Sunday morning so you'll be in church on time. It's none of that. It's so that we can have another opportunity to teach and preach Christ. It enables us another opportunity to let somebody know that Jesus loves them, that Jesus died for them, Jesus will save them, and Jesus can use them in ways they had no idea they could be used. The goal is Christ. The center is Christ. The early church taught and preached Jesus Christ. That is still the answer today. That is still the goal today. I'm glad we get to fellowship. I'm glad we get to assemble. I'm glad we get to do those things. But it is all about the Lord Jesus Christ. But I remind us that our community does not need more entertainment. We certainly don't need more government programs. We don't need more religion. We certainly don't need more human opinion. But our communities, our city, our counties needs Jesus Christ. Our homes need Christ. Our marriages need Christ. Our children need Christ. Our neighborhoods need Christ. Our city needs Christ. See, one of the blessings of what we're doing is it's more opportunities to put Christ in front of people in more personal and practical ways. Might I just say to every Sunday school teacher and those that are thinking, and those you will be a Sunday school teacher in the future, you just don't know it yet. Don't underestimate what God will do with somebody who'll stand and faithfully teach a lesson. Don't underestimate what God will do with a little child that visits one day and trust Christ as their Savior. Don't ever underestimate a family that comes in and says, well, they don't look like the typical church family. That's because they're not the typical church family. And to back up, be quite honest, we don't need any more typical church families because there's none of us that are the typical church families. We need people who need Christ, who find Christ, and who have a desire to grow in Christ. Number four, aren't you proud of me how fast I'm moving? I'll get to number 19 before long. The church must involve every believer. Let me say to everybody here, you are important. So I don't feel very important. Well, let me say it again, you're important. Just in case there's somebody out there that says, prove it to me. Jesus died for you. That makes you pretty important. He shed his blood for you. He paid your sin debt. That makes you pretty important. He left heaven for you. That makes you pretty important. He paid your consequences. He suffered your death in hell for you. It means you're important. But the church he established, that's the wonderful thing about the church, the way he established it. There's no caste system in the church. Say, well, Pastor Neil, I'm looking for a church, but I just don't know where I'll fit. You'll fit. Say, you don't know the problems I have. Let me tell you, there's problems already here. Your problems aren't going to make it any worse, I promise you. Well, I just don't know. You don't understand where I come from. Well, can I tell you where we all start from? We all start from the place of a sinner on our way to hell, and but for Christ and his sacrifice, that's where we would be destined for. But he changed us. He cleaned us. And, wow, look around and look at all these church people. These aren't church people. They're just sinners saved by the grace of God who have decided that we're going to give ourselves to serve him, to live for him. And he's the foundation of a church that he's provided for us so that we can be edified, so we can grow, and so we can go out and to reach other people. But you are important. You are important to this church. If we're going to truly reach our city, as I believe we are admonished to do, we must realize that this work is bigger than any one of us. See, something we need to be reminded of, God is bigger than one preacher and bigger than one pulpit. The work that's done on Sunday, there are teachers who teach. There are those who invite to the Sunday school class, those who pray. And can I say, maybe the most important of all, those who make the coffee for Sunday school. I jest, but it is everything that is done. from the nursery workers to the ushers to those that open their homes, everything that is done, it is important. And there are people in your neighborhood that only you can reach. So, Pastor, when are you going to come to my neighborhood? Why would I do that? You're there. That's your neighborhood. That's your mission field. Those are people you live among. That's the way we've got a thing. You say, well, Pastor, I've never been trained as a soul winner. Well, let me help you this morning. Would you like to come to Bible study with me on Sunday morning? See how hard that was? If they say, well, I don't know. There's coffee. They're there. I'm telling you. You say, what if they don't drink coffee? Well, we don't want them, but no. 1 Corinthians 12 teaches that the body has many members, and every member has a function. Not everybody does the same thing, but everybody can do something. If you're a member of this church or you think about being a member of this church, I want you to be involved. I want you to have a part. You've heard some testimonies this morning of people being saved through these Sunday school classes. Everybody who had a part in that class had a part in that. So what does that mean? That means when we all get to glory one day, when the stories are all told, there's going to be some reward given to those who made it possible. Friend, I'm not so oblivious and I'm not so full of myself that when I stand here this morning, I know that it's not me. First of all, it's God, but I also know the host of people who've done so many little things behind the scenes so that we can sit this morning and let God speak to us. We can be encouraged. We can be helped. We can be challenged. It takes everybody to do what is necessary to reach those around us. Ministry is every member doing his part to help get the gospel and the word of God to others. Let me just finally mention this. The church must not stop. Notice in verse 42, there's some wonderful things in verse 42. Of course, this comes off of Christ's ascension, that early church meeting in the upper room, praying for power. Pentecost takes place, 3,000 souls saved and baptized on the same day. Now the growth, the gospel is spreading. There's persecution. We're told in verse 42 what's going on. Every day in the temple and in house to house, there's something being done about preaching Jesus Christ. Those are wonderful things, but let me tell you why it's key. Let me tell you why we can still assemble today in the same pattern and model as this church, because right in the middle of verse 42, we're reminded they cease not. That is what we as a church say, Pastor, that's a wonderful testimony. Have we done enough? No, they cease not. We must continue to be faithful. They didn't stop teaching. They didn't stop preaching. And I love the testimony this morning. Well, we went out and everybody was mean to us. Everybody told us that we didn't want to do it. And they just kept going and God still gave the increase. Well, we find in the book of Acts, persecution. We find imprisonment. We find beatings. And they cease not. Oh, how ashamed are we going to be when we get to glory and say, well, it was time change and we lost an hour and I couldn't get there. They were beaten. They were in prison and said, don't ever speak his name again. And their response was, I can only do what I've seen and heard. And they would continue to preach Christ and cease not. If you're just getting into the habit of coming to church, cease not. Put it in your schedule. Make it non-negotiable. You say, well, I've come to church, but I haven't found a Sunday school class yet. Try one. If you don't like it, go to the next one. You say, well, that's how it works. There's some who are only in their class because they tried all the breakfasts, and that's how God led them. But you need to be in one, and then keep going. You may say, well, I've been inviting my neighbor for weeks and months. Cease not. Cease not. This ought to be the spirit of our church as well. Let's not stop reaching our community. See, Pastor, how far are we going to go? We're all the way here on the west side. We're riding the crossroads of four counties. And let me just say, I hadn't forgotten about Baker County. I hadn't forgotten about these other, Nassau County, these other counties that are right up against us. I hadn't forgotten about them. We'll get to them in a minute. But Duval is a pretty big county. See, we're all the way here on the west side. Where are we going to go? When we hit the ocean, that's when we're stopping. Some of you are going to surrender right after this. I'll do that one. The point I'm making is we can't stop. Galatians 6:9 reminds us, let's not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Some sowing takes time. Some classes grow slowly. I had to remind Brother Terry several times. He'd say, we just can't get it going. I said, Brother Terry, just keep sowing that seed. He kept thinking I was going to fire him. I'm not for that, but other things, but no, keep sowing the seed. Keep sowing. Keep sowing. This city used to have thriving churches all across it. I don't pretend this morning we're the only church in town. If you're in town looking, let me just help you. You don't need to go anywhere else. This is the best church in town. This is where you need to be. So I'm waiting on God to tell me. He just did. I don't pretend that we have a market on the truth. But I think if you've been in this city any length of time at all, you know there's room for God to do something. Now, I'll just be very transparent this morning, and this is not how I intended to wrap this up. But I know what used to be in Jacksonville as far as churches go, and I believe God can do it again. You say, well, Pastor, there were more churches that were... had this mindset. There are more churches that wanted to get the gospel out. There's more churches who stood on the truth than there are now. I'll take all the help that we can get, and I believe that if somebody will lead the way, there's others who will get on board. But if God has raised us up for such a time as this to be the one and puts it all on us to do it ourselves, let's just act like we're the only ones, which means we've all got to continue. We can't cease not. We've got to have a heart for Christ so that others can know the gospel. Thank God for the church that met in the temple. Thank God for the church in every house. Thank God for a church that goes beyond its walls. As we go to invitation this morning, may our hearts be stirred in several different ways. May our hearts be stirred in a way that prompts us to thank God for someone who teaches you the Bible. Friend, if this is the only church you've ever been a part of, don't take for granted the fact that the Bible is preached and taught. Right. If your children are in our ministry, in our services, in our Sunday school classes, they're taught the Bible. Don't take that for granted. That is something that we ought to be grateful for. Maybe this morning you just need to be determined to say, Pastor, I really need to become more faithful. That is something between you and God, and why don't you covenant that with God? Say, I'm going to be faithful. Maybe there's somebody, Lord, to press upon your heart, I need to work really hard to get them in church. We still do believe, don't we, that every soul is either going to spend eternity in heaven or hell. This morning, if you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior, or you're depending on church membership, being a Catholic won't get you to heaven. But being a Baptist won't get you to heaven either. For by grace are ye saved, through faith. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. It's 100% Him. You may say this morning, well, I've never heard that before. Well, you just heard it, and let me remind you. Jesus left heaven, lived a sinless life to pay your sin debt, to be the sacrifice for your sins. You can trust Him today. You can put your faith in Him, and you can believe on Him today. Maybe the Lord impresses upon you, Lord, how could I help? What neighbor could I get? Maybe today you do need the Christ that we preach. Would you trust Him today? Well, if you've been saved and there's that next, it's important for you as a new Christian to take those next steps in your life. If you've been saved and not scripturally baptized, you need to get baptized. The Bible teaches it's identification with the one who saved you. It's identification with the church. See, well, Pastor, does that save me? It doesn't save you one bit. Does it make you any more saved, any less saved? It just makes you obedient. You say, well, Pastor, when should I get baptized? How about today? So I'm not prepared. How about today? I'll come back next week. That's great. Come back next week, but let's get baptized today. Amen. Maybe you're looking for a church home to put your family in. There's no perfect people here. There's not a perfect pastor here. But I'll tell you what is here. The Word of God is here. The Spirit of God is here. And the people who love God who are here. If you're looking for a place where your family can learn the Bible and be taught the Bible and a pastor who will pray for you and love you, what would you consider making today Emmanuel Baptist Church your church home? Whatever it is the Lord speaks to us today, it's been a little bit different Sunday, but an important Sunday for us as a church. Maybe drive home different today as we drive in our neighborhoods. Maybe some would say, Lord, what would it take to get a Bible study in my community? What would it take for me to get my neighbors to come to church with me? I think we'd be surprised how many would come if we just invite them. See, we have community at church. We have community in our Sunday school classes. But our neighborhoods, our cities, our communities are full of people who are lonely. And you know why they'll go to the cult? Because they got invited. Let's be convicted. Let's be challenged. Let's be concerned that we as God's church with the truth. Do we have the truth? Amen. Then let's not keep it for ourselves. Let's preach and teach Christ. Father, I pray that